Hi, this is Adam Lundquist from the Houston Dynamo, and thank you for listening to Soccer Matters with Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters. Boy, it is a big week in Spain, and it is a big week this weekend with El Clasico coming. Quick word here for Advantage BMW in Midtown. I've driven one for years. I've leased, I've bought from Advantage. I love the drive of a BMW. It's like no other. Get yourself in a 5 Series, a 3, maybe a 7, X5, X3. You can get in the SUV. It's Advantage BMW Midtown. You'll get a Houston hometown advantage down there. AdvantageBMWHouston.com. They are proud sponsors of Soccer Matters. Go down there, say hello to Justin and Steven. They will get you fixed up. It's Advantage BMW Midtown, and they bring us our next guest. We go to TV3's Jordi Sunyer in Barcelona. Of course, Jordi has been a great guest on this show over the year, and we appreciate Jordi being on. Jordi, how are you? How is Barcelona, Spain?
It's always a pleasure. Today, a little bit rainy, but fine. Overall, it's fine here.
Well, let's get you right into Barcelona, and I just want to talk about the run they've made here in the last 2 months. They've cut 12 points off the lead, 1 point now behind Atletico after the late win against Real Valladolid. Tell me how Koeman has gotten this done, and maybe is this a little bit in an atypical fashion for a normal Barcelona team?
In fact, yesterday was not a typical Barcelona game. The game that gave Barcelona the possibility of being only 1 point behind Atletico Madrid. So if Barcelona win all their matches until the end of the season, they'll get the double league and cup that would have been unthinkable at the beginning of the season. And yesterday was not a typical Barcelona game. You watch that. They had problems to beat Valladolid, who played a very well-prepared defensive and counter-attacking game. And finally, was a lucky goal by Dembélé on the 90th minute of the game that gave Barcelona the 3 points. But apart from this game, feelings were good for Barcelona. And Koeman is getting a lot of praise in the last weeks, in the last months, particularly because this change of system that has allowed the team to be more solid in defense and give the most for players like, for example, Sergiño Dest, who has now not entirely left, but he's not so committed to defensive duties. He can play more like a winger. He's a very offensive right back, as you know. And he has played very good matches recently. Jordi Alba, on the other side, in his associations with Leo Messi, has been also fine. Frankie de Jong playing as the third central defender. He played in this position at Ajax, if you remember. And he's doing pretty well. Yesterday, he didn't play such a great game because he had 4 yellow cards. If he had seen the 5th yellow card, he would have missed the Clásico through suspension, the same as Lionel Messi. But these tactical changes from Ronald Koeman have changed the shape of the team, but have changed the morale also. And there's now, with all changes also in Barcelona's board, you know, the change of President Joan Laporta getting again the presidential chair, the feelings are diverse. And there's this feeling that this Barcelona team, even if it's not one of the greatest, can win something this year. And yesterday, it was not a typical Barcelona victory, but gave them this confidence to keep on thinking about that.
Jordi Sunyer, TV3 in Barcelona, Spain, joining us. Joan Laporta, obviously there were great times under his time as the president, has now come back. Has that led to a lot of optimism, you know, combined with the results now under Koeman?
Yeah, there's this optimism, but it's not a let's say a mad optimism or a full optimism what is going around in Barcelona. Of course, in sporting terms, many supporters are thinking that Barcelona can win a title this season, but in the money side of the situation, that's not that easy because Barcelona, as you know, as I told you, are in dire straits. In fact, this week, they presented, Barcelona's new board presented an economic plan for the next 3 seasons. And only in the third season, that means in the 2022-23 season, they think they can get the first profit. So they think next season will be a season still of loss in Barcelona's budget. So this will not be easy. And on the other side, this can bring more opportunities for players coming from the lower ranks. You know, in the other era of Joan Laporta as president in Barcelona, one of the key ideas for the success of the club was fielding players born and bred in La Masia, Xavi Hernández, Andrés Iniesta, Sergio Busquets, Leo Messi. From that generation on, it has not been that usual to field such a great amount of players coming from La Masia. Even Barcelona B team are buying foreign players to reach their goal of getting promoted to the second division. So the La Masia of 2021 is not La Masia of 2010, for example. And this creates such a problem in the sense that we are talking about Holland, we are talking about signing players that Ronald Koeman likes. We're talking last winter about Memphis Depay. We're talking now about Jorginho Wijnaldum. But Barcelona, economically, are still facing very serious problems.
Okay, so you just led me in perfectly to Erling Haaland. And we've heard all this, you know, his agent wants 20 million. His father gets 20 million. You and I have talked recently about Barcelona's dire straits financially, 1.6 billion. You know, in big trouble financially. How in that thing can you even be talking about signing an Erling Haaland with that type of debt? Does a corporation come in and buy this guy for Barcelona or a sponsor? How does this work?
No, they think they can sell some of the players that have that earn the most. For example, Griezmann, Coutinho, who is injured and has had surgery in Brazil. Yesterday he had surgery. He will be out for the rest of the season. Samuel Umtiti. They really think they can sell these players and get some money, some extra money, to try to buy a single top-class player, which will be or would be Erling Braut Haaland. Or another one, because there are other candidates. Barca needs a number nine. That's for sure. Haaland is the first candidate. But in the last days, again, the name of Harry Kane has emerged. So let's see what happens.
How legitimate do you think this is, Jordi? I mean, do we really believe they're going to sign an Erling Haaland or a Harry Kane? Could this really come off? Would these players want to? I mean, obviously, if they get the money, they'll come. But I mean, do they want to come to a club that's in some of the troubles that they're having, or is it now a whole new picture here because they're doing so well in La Liga?
I don't think it's a question of the troubles, financial or even the sporting problems of the club. There are two sides of this issue. For example, Lionel Messi right now is seriously thinking of staying in Barcelona because really Joan Laporta is trying to do everything to convince Messi to stay. Even yesterday, he had a kind of a pre-game show where he received an award for being the player with most games played for FC Barcelona. More than Xavi Hernández was the first.
That's when he had his family on the field and his
children. Yeah. You saw that. So these are these things that Laporta is doing to keep Messi in Barcelona. But as I was saying, I'll try to be concise. There are two sides of this thing. In sporting terms, in 2020, FC Barcelona scouts watched 15 games of Erling Braut Haaland in his former teams. 15 games. And after these 15 games, they wrote a report saying that, of course, he's a greatest striker. He's got goal. He's what they call in Italy a bomber. He's a great striker. But he doesn't fit in the Barcelona style because he lacks capacity of association with other players in the attacking zone. You know, Barcelona DNA is the passing game, is the combination game. It's what Pep Guardiola doesn't like to call this game the tiki-taka because really what we call tiki-taka in Spain is a game that in which you pass the ball, but you are not that deep. You pass the ball around for many times, but you don't create so many chances. So Haaland didn't fit in the Barcelona DNA, in the Barcelona style, according to the FC Barcelona scouts. On the other side, let's be clear, let's be fair. Elite football, tough football right now is a business. Players are assets, are commodities. So if you get a player with worldwide fame right now, a player who's known around the world, who's being a sensational, who can score lots of goals, who has a very particular image, like Erling Braut Haaland, what can this bring to the club? It's important for Barcelona to keep getting. There's a kind of balance in Barcelona sports in politics of bringing to the first team players born and bred in La Masia, but at the same time, in this mad business of top class world football, being able to attract the first names of the game. And clubs like Real Madrid, like Barcelona, like Bayern Munich, the best clubs in Europe, need to bring the best names in the game to be the top class in the business. So Barca needs to keep their brand alive around the world, to bring players like Haaland or like others. But we're now talking about Haaland because he's one of the sensations in the world of football. So I think these are two sides of this story. I must say that Mino Raiola has said that all these informations around the commission he would get if Haaland signed for Barcelona, he and his father, Alf Inge Haaland, are fake news, that these are not true. But the thing is that between the two, between Mino Raiola and Alf Inge Haaland, when Haaland signed for Borussia Dortmund, they earned 23 million euros. So maybe they don't get 40 million euros, that it has been published by a radio station here in Barcelona, but they will surely get their amount because it's part of the business.
All right, let's change gears here. Jordi Sunyer, TV3 in Barcelona. Let's start talking about El Clásico. We got about 4 minutes for El Clásico. It'll take place Saturday at the Estadio Alfredo Di Stefano. Zinedine Zidane and Real Madrid in real trouble. Number one, obviously played in the Champions League today, but number two, Rafael Varane out now with the COVID. Also missing Sergio Ramos. They're going to have to go to number three and four choice center backs here. It seems like since they're playing had played in the Champions League today, they're coming into this game beaten and battered. I mean, this has to be a huge opportunity for Barcelona, and it may determine the league title.
Glenn, El Clásico is El Clásico. There's no game like El Clásico. Anything you can say about any other game, about injuries, suspensions, whatever, doesn't count in El Clásico. It's like a final. It's a game like no other. It's true. No Ramos, no Varane. Serious problems in defense for Real Madrid. But you see, they keep on winning. They are not playing the most flamboyant game on the earth, but they keep on winning, even playing with a defense of three center backs, even if one of them, Ferland Mendy, is not a center back. But they keep on winning. They won against Eibar last Saturday, 2-0. It was a drab game. It was not a good game, but they won. They won because they have Benzema, one of the best strikers in Europe, a very intelligent number nine that has got out from the shadows of Cristiano Ronaldo to be one of the key players in this Zinedine Zidane's Real Madrid.
And do you think Zidane goes to a 4-3-3 and changes it up with the lack of center backs in Ramos and Varane now?
He has been playing with three center backs in the last games, at least against Eibar. He tried to do that. And it would not be a rare thing if he sticks to this three-man defense with Lucas Vázquez and Marcelo as fullbacks, because Without Ramos, without Varane, you have to change the shape of the team, because if you play only as center backs, Nacho and Militao, you are playing against Barcelona, against the best teams in Europe, a defense that will be or would be likely to play, for example, a Copa del Rey game. So let's see. It's difficult now on Tuesday, on Wednesday, to think about the starting 11 of Real Madrid, but I think it's likely that sticks to this three-man defense. And I think Barcelona fans are thinking about that. They are not playing well. They will not have Ramos. They will not have Varane. But Real Madrid is always Real Madrid, and El Clásico is El Clásico. So it's the most difficult game on the earth to predict on. You can say I'm very exaggerated, maybe, but it's impossible to predict what will happen on Saturday night.
Let's not forget, they still have names like Casemiro, Luka Modric, Toni Kroos, Vinicius Jr., Marco Asensio, Karim Benzema, as you mentioned. And Benzema really has flourished in his role as kind of the big star up front for the team. Now, what are some of the other dynamics of this game that you may be looking at closely?
For example, you were mentioning Carlos Casemiro. He's one of these dark players nobody recognizes, but his job is very necessary in Zinedine Zidane's team. And he's a very important player in set pieces. He has scored 5 goals this season. I think it's 5 goals, yeah. In set pieces, he's a very dangerous player. And Barcelona is a team that hasn't always defended well this kind of players, these set pieces. So I think Casemiro can be, in the absence of players like Ramos and Varane, can be a very important player this Saturday. Anyone can be, but he's not the player you count on, but he always delivers. So I think Barca has to be aware of him.
Maybe some unlikely heroes this weekend. Jordi, as always, tremendous stuff. It's El Clásico Saturday. You can catch it here on beIN Sports. Jordi Sunyer giving us everything from Barcelona, Spain, ahead of El Clásico. Jordi, thank you so much for coming on the show. It's always a pleasure having you, and we look forward to your next visit.
Pleasure, Glenn. Thank you very much.
All right. The one and only Jordi Sunyer, TB3. That's a game not to be missed here. And, of course, all the Houston area supporters groups will be out in force. We'll take a break here. Soccer Matters brought to you, as always, by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. DaspitLaw.com, bringing you soccer on the airwaves. DaspitLaw.com.
ESPN. 97.5.